It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
Let's Talk Legal with Harvell & Collins, attorneys at law here on the Talk Station, the right advice at the right time, and Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins in the studio. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Ben.
Morning, Ben.
All right, so what are we talking about today?
Well, Ben, last week we talked about some funding issues about, you know, how do you, you know, there are two parts to an estate. Number one is to get good documents done. But number two, equally important, is to check your beneficiary designations, your accounts with right of survivorship, you know, your real property. Is it titled tenants by entirety or is it titled in an LLC? I mean, go behind and check beneficiaries of annuities, life insurance, IRAs, 401ks, anything and everything having to do with what kind of Wes and I refer to as funding the estate.
Right.
Make sure that your funding issues are consistent with your estate planning documents. Okay? Now, with all that said, Wes is here today. And that's not quite what I think we're going to talk about, but I did kind of want to, we're going to jump around a little bit. I did kind of want to just put a conclusion, some conclusion on last week's remarks.
Okay.
Let's move back a little bit, to Wes was speaking about a couple weeks ago about the covenant not to compete.
We kind of began that conversation about businesses and starting
a business. We did. Yeah. And let's talk about that and wrap that up. But if any callers have any questions, feel free to call in really about anything.
Anything, any estate matters, any civil law.
Sure, so. Yeah. Well, we did talk about the covenants not to compete in more of an employer-employee context over, I think, about a two-week period of time. But since I was out last week, Cecil, of course, talking about the estate-related matters, I did want to get back to a caller we had a couple of weeks ago by the name of Roy. He called in and had some questions, great questions, regarding covenants not to compete in the context of a partnership. We answered those on the air, but he also had another question about what to do with personal property if your tenant holds over and leaves his stuff there.
Right.
And I promised him that I would pull the statute so we can deal with exacts as opposed to generalities as far as what you need to do. And I want to tell Roy that he needs to listen next week on that.
All right, we'll get to that.
I was in court all day yesterday and planned on pulling it yesterday. And since I was in court longer than I thought I was going to be, I didn't get a chance to do that. But I will pull it this following week. Just to wrap up with regard to the covenants not to compete conversation. Wanted to go over just briefly the elements of a covenant not to compete in North Carolina, just to wrap that conversation up so that our listeners are fully up to speed on that.
Yeah, I have to say that from our conversations a couple of weeks ago, I've had the conversation with my son who recently had a new job. So I'm asking him, I was asking him about what has he signed and not signed since then.
Absolutely, because that could certainly, you know, affect your ability to do what you love to do or maybe something you don't necessarily love to do, but you need to do to make money.
That's right.
You know, in a certain locale. And, you know, a lot of people don't think about that when they're starting a new job because they're excited about the job itself.
Sure.
They don't think about, well, if things don't pan out, how are all these documents that I'm signing going to affect me? But just to hit the high points with regard to this, of course, as we talked about, covenants not to compete, you know, in general, would be, you know, a document that an employee signs indicating that they're restricted in competing with the business that they're starting their employment with. Limited in time and limited in territory and limited in scope as far as what is restricted.
And some consideration has to be involved.
Consideration, right. So it has to be in writing. There is no such thing as a verbal covenant not to compete in North Carolina. And as far as I'm concerned, as far as I know, there's not any such thing as a verbal covenant not to compete in any state.
Right.
But we're talking specifically about North Carolina today. It has to be a part of a contract of employment, and as we talked about before, that doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be in your actual contract of employment that you sign. It could be a separate document. But then we get into that timing issue, and that's probably the biggest pitfall that we see The biggest issue that could come up where a challenge to a covenant not to compete can be, you know, very valid and maybe won in court, and that is when that covenant not to compete was signed and when it was first discussed. The cases in North Carolina basically state that, you know, if you start your employment and then there's no discussion regarding a covenant not to compete, or maybe it's just generally mentioned, oh, we're going to need you to sign a covenant not to compete, but there's no conversation with regard to time or territory or scope or any of those kind of things. But then such a document gets put in front of you, which would probably normally be in the context of, well, you need to sign this, or, you know, this is kind of a condition of staying here, that type thing.
Right.
Our cases in North Carolina, our courts, appellate courts, have said that that is not valid as far as that covenant not to compete being enforceable if it's signed at a later date, if there's no further, if there was no original conversation about it.
If there's an indication at hiring that you're going, that this is documents being prepared or
something
like that.
That's right, but there has to be conversation regarding detail.
Right.
And, you know, you might think, well, just a couple days later would be fine. My goodness, you know, if we sign a covenant not to compete a day or two or 3 days after we start employment, that's just a matter of getting the thing typed up. Certainly that's enforceable. Well, the primary case in North Carolina is a 3 day case. It was 3 days after employment started was when that the covenant not to compete was put in front of the employee. And it was signed. And then years later, the employment relationship, ended. And then that covenant not to compete, you know, became challenged, and the court said, no, you didn't discuss it up front. You put it in front of this employee 3 days later. There was no additional consideration.
That was a key.
Yeah, that was a key. Yeah, no additional consideration. No, you didn't increase the pay. I didn't give you a car allowance. You know, there was no IRA that was put in place. There was no expanded territory in which you could work. You could work from home or nothing extra that was given for that covenant not to compete. So the court came back and said, we're not going to support that. And you know what that tells us is it really just gives us a message that the courts are really strict, really serious about strictly construing these. They don't like them.
Right.
They don't like.
Restrict your right to work.
That's right. They don't like them. And, you know, you go back, as we talked about, 100 years or so, you know, they really were much more restricted. Now, there's a narrow exception carved out over the years through cases, which basically, you know, indicates as long as they're in writing, part of a contract for employment based on valuable consideration and reasonable as to time and territory. And that last reasonable as to time and territory is really the part that's been carved out. You know, we're usually talking about a couple years in a relatively small area.
Right.
And we do look at things such as, all right, employee, where did you work? Where were you out doing this job? You know.
Well, I know you said that was brought up as like a 3 day issue in the, as the court case, but you know, I can see, well, I've done it myself. I think you've had employees that, prove their mettle over a year or two, you know, maybe, and you say, boy, now we really can't do without this guy.
Right.
So, so now you develop a covenant, to not compete. At that point, though, you really need to have some serious consideration, or if, hey, if you sign this, I'll take you out to lunch. Is that going to
happen? No. You've got to have some serious consideration, you know, change a material change of the employment understanding contract relationship, something that, that is material in nature that really would be valid consideration for now requesting this employee to limit their right to work if for some reason, there was a termination of employment. There needs to be something material there.
Okay.
The court will not, you know, the court doesn't like looking into adequacy of consideration issues in contracts. The court in a lot of cases is going to look at just whether there was any consideration at all, but there is an element there of inadequate consideration that the court can look at. So if you just give the person, you know, a very de minimis token. Something like that, the court may certainly have a problem with that. So I think Cecil's point with regard to that is, you know, if you're going to do this and this employee is so very valuable, Well, give them a little something anyway if they're that valuable to you.
That's right.
And that way, if it does get challenged, well, you've given them enough so that consideration really can't be challenged.
Makes a lot of sense. Right. If you have questions about this or any other civil law matter, you can call us at 800-818-2255, 247-7282, 353-4674. The experts are in the house, Harvell and Collins, attorneys of law, and Let's Talk Legal. We'll continue right after this. Hey, welcome back to the program here. Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. And our number is 800-818-2255 are our local numbers there, too. And we have a caller who wants to ask a question. We have Brian in Swansboro. Hi, Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Ben. How are you?
All right. What's your question for us today?
Okay. Basically, what happened is my stepdaughter is 20, got married at 18, and now she moved in a month ago and to do her get divorced and do her 1 year, you know, legal separation. And on Friday, she was cussing me out. And I told her, you know, don't talk to me like that in my house. And I talked to my wife about it. She wasn't there. And my wife thinks that was unacceptable, and she shouldn't do that. And I know I can kick her out, but I just wanted to ask for some legal advice on what my rights are, because nobody should have to deal with that. You know what I'm saying? That's my question.
Well, she's an adult. Right.
Right.
Right. Well, you.
Well, she, Brian.
Yes.
She, of course, is a guest, in your home. She's not paying any consideration or money to be there, I take it, correct?
Yes, sir. That is, she's paying nothing.
Right, right. So, absolutely, you know, you do not have to accept, you know, any kind of, you know, uncomfortable behavior, untoward behavior, or any kind of aggression of that nature. I think what I would say to you more than anything else is to try to have a civilized discussion with your stepdaughter and just lay out the parameters of the fact that, you know, this happened. It cannot happen again. And, I've discussed it with my wife. We're not going to allow this to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And if that discussion doesn't go real well, then you've kind of got a problem, Brian, because the bottom line is that sometimes this falls into kind of a domestic area, if
right.
you will, something in and around your house
right.
and your household. If the, you know, those situations can escalate sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And you, as a very innocent person, can all of a sudden be, you know, brought into a very complicated and stressful situation. You know, she could allege that you hit her. She could, you know, any number of things, I mean, could occur. And you just don't want an escalation of this kind of aggression in
right.
any way.
Yeah, as Cecil was talking there, I was thinking, uh-huh. you know, it's kind of, it's two things. Number one, you certainly have a right to have her removed from the house or change the locks or
uh-huh.
you know, keep her from staying at the house. But if you can avoid just doing that cold turkey, for lack of a better term, then that would be good. I mean, obviously you need to set forth consequences for her behavior and let her know this is what we're going to have to do in the event that you act this way again in my home. But you do have the right to do that. There's no legal right for her to continue to live there. You know, she's
right.
not a tenant. As Cecil asked you, you know, there's not a contract in place where she has a right to live there. She's a guest. So you
right.
have a right to certainly turn her out if you wish.
And certainly you're providing her with a benefit. So
right. And the other thing I was thinking about as he was talking, he addressed, don't touch her.
Okay.
No matter what, if she comes toward you, get away from her.
Right.
Don't retaliate.
Yes. Right.
Try to put yourself in a situation where it's not just you two in a room together with no witnesses around.
Gotcha.
You don't want her to make an allegation against you, and next thing you know, you're in district court having to defend your honor because her testimony is trumped up for a better, for lack of a better term. She's making up things.
Or you're just reduced to a he said, she said. You know,
right.
You don't want
to do that. Right. So do not put yourself in that situation. Avoid that kind of, any contact at all in any type of confrontation. And of course, you know, one of the ways you can do that is for her not to live there anymore. So.
Right. That's it. I just basically have a little talk with her and tell her politely, you know, you're welcome to stay here, but if you talk to me like that again, we're going to have to ask you to leave.
Correct.
And, yep. You know, just speaking from the pastor side here, this side of me now, I would say you want to make sure you and your wife are together on that.
Right. We agree on that point, Ben.
Yeah, and that you're talking together, not alone
right.
to her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thanks for your time, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you.
Welcome. Thanks, Brian. Good luck.
We'll have more to come in just a moment here on Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins, attorneys at law. And if you have questions, you can call us 800-818-2255, 247-7282-353-4674. Yes.
We just have a couple more minutes, and let's follow up a little bit on this call from Brian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Wes and I see very often where circumstances just in a domestic situation or even in and around your home, friends, neighbors, coworkers, where they escalate beyond what anyone would have ever anticipated to occur. You know, one little thing happens, and within a moment or two, you know, there is an altercation, a physical altercation, things of this nature. And then, of course, you have cross-swearing of warrants, you know, and things of that nature. And now it's difficult to let cooler heads prevail. But, you know, there is always an opportunity to respond appropriately, you know, 24 hours later.
Right.
12 hours later.
Right.
3 hours later. We do not have to respond to a situation immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a good thing for all of us to kind of keep in mind, and we lawyers particularly see this.
Yeah, deep breaths are helpful.
Deep breaths are helpful, you know, goodness gracious. And, of course, we see so many cases like this, and I know I'm very off track now from a lot of things we talk about, but, you know, the case down in Florida with the young fella who was walking along and got killed by the guy, and there was a big trial.
Yeah.
You know, there's
there's
an example of, you know, if cooler heads could prevail for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Wes and I do see this, particularly in a domestic environment. You will have siblings that are at war with each other about the care of their elder mother or elder father. A verbal conflict occurs, and the next thing you know, someone is cornered or pushed up against the refrigerator. Well, that's all it takes. Then there's a warrant out there. Okay, this is very expensive, listeners.
And those deputies have to respond
because
to a situation.
You then are in the court setting, and you have to hire lawyers, wait all day long to get reached, so you're off from work. Okay, for at least a day, sometimes many days of work as a result of having to go to court, which is very lengthy. You know, you can sit in court all day long and your case not get heard.
Right.
Particularly these kinds of cases where there are 200 or 300 of these kinds of cases in the district court on any given day in any of our surrounding counties. So just a little word from we lawyers this morning. Take some deep breaths, Ben. That's a nice thing for you to say. And Brian is in a situation like that.
Mm-hmm.
He already has seen kind of some colorful activity from this stepdaughter, okay?
Right.
Well, let's don't let that escalate so that an innocent person such as Brian is now having to hire a lawyer, get off from work, go to district court, all of those kinds of things, which are very, very stressful, time-consuming, and very expensive.
Yeah, it's easy to wave the law in front of somebody's face, but it's harder to apply it and also then and back off and say we don't need to apply this just yet.
Right. Well, if you can stay out of the system, do it.
Yeah.
That's basically what
this
was doing. Because once you're in that system of court, it's not much fun. You know, it's going to hit you in your pocketbook, and it's going to take up your time. And then you find yourself defending your honor. And then it's he said, she said, and it's just a bad situation. So Brian is just, he is doing exactly what he should do in this particular case. You know, he's calling us, getting a second opinion. Seems like he's been pretty cool thus far.
Mm-hmm.
Now he knows two things. Number one, he has a right to remove her from the house. I agree with your advice wholeheartedly, Ben. Let's be together, husband and wife, on that.
Mm-hmm.
First thing. Second thing, don't even remotely put yourself in a position where there's a confrontation with her. Just avoid it completely. And, you know, that's what you have to do because you never know when she's going to change, you know, come up with her story that he pushed her to try to use that as leverage, maybe to even have a place to live, to stay in that house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or for whatever reason.
And those confrontations come up in a lot of places, like the driveway when somebody's driving up, you know, any number of places. So you got to be careful about that. Because again, he's doing her a favor while going through a very difficult time.
Right.
So,
right.
Those are things that, again, I think I like when we talk because you guys always, while you know the law, you're experts on that, you also have some good, reasonable, applications to where we can step back and then make things work.
Well, frankly, there's lots of lawyers who have made a lot of money over people losing their cool.
Yeah.
That's so don't lose your cool.
That's right.
And you don't have to mess with the lawyers.
Yeah. There you go. We'll put that as an additional motto on the program. If you want to find out more about how Harvell and Collins can help you as well, too, you can call them at 252-726-9050.